Hello and welcome to The Big Interview with myself, Anthony Kendrick. This is my new show for the V2 Sport Network, and over the course of the season, I'll be interviewing various guests, former footballers, football journalists and the like, and we'll be debating all the topical issues. This is the first show of the season, and in which I'll look at the top six, and Arsenal in particular, their hopes for the season, and I'm joined for that with Arsenal fan Ollie Price-Bates. Hope you enjoy the show. You can follow Ollie on Twitter at Ollie Price-Bates, myself at Ant Kendrick, and also check out the V2 Sport Network. Yeah, hope you enjoy, and this is the interview. Oh, and PS, I will create a new musical intro for episode 2. Apologies for the lack of that here. Just before we start, a bit about yourself. I know you're the editor at Fresh Arsenal and an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, long time Arsenal fan. Editor of FreshArsenal.com. It's basically just a blog for the fans, from the fans. We've got a few writers who are Arsenal fans, and we cover transfer news, game previews and reaction, things like that. And you can catch me sharing my feelings on the Arsenal at Ollie Price Bates on Twitter most of the time.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the first question I've got to ask is about, just want to look back at the past with Arsene Wenger. With him leaving, what do you think his legacy is going to be like at Arsenal?
I think much of that's going to be determined by how well we do from now, really. We had nothing to sort of compare Wenger to. Almost my entire lifetime he's been the manager, so it's hard for me to say how well he's performed, especially in the last 10 years. But no one can deny what he did in the first half of his era, and was fantastic, and sort of made me support Arsenal in the first instance anyway, made me fall in love with them. So I think all Arsenal fans will always appreciate what he's done, but we'll really see now where we are as a club, whether we deserve to be at the very top, and can another manager take us back to there, or are we gonna sort of settle in mediocrity?
Yeah. Do you think his legacy will be a bit tarnished because there's an argument that he maybe stayed at the club, 5 years too long or something like that?
I think that's the feeling right now, but I think when you look back in history, given a bit of time, no one's gonna sort of think Wenger was a bad manager. There's no arguments that he's got a great philosophy. He's a very good man, and he's done good things for the sport in general. So I think the majority will continue to think that.
I hope so. I hope you're right. I think he's been a terrific manager over the years, and I think you look at Ferguson's dominance with Man United, and he was the only one who could compete with him. I think is the bottom for me. That's the bottom line anyway. And it's also his playing style. I thought Arsenal were probably the best team to watch sort of early 2000s when I got into football, 2005 and such. It's such an incredible team to watch, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So Unai Emery coming in. It's an interesting choice of manager. I mean, there was talk about Mikel Arteta or perhaps someone, or Vieira, even someone a bit less experienced, but they've gone for a guy who's got a decent European pedigree with Sevilla and with PSG. What were your thoughts on the appointment?
Well, it sort of came out of nowhere, didn't it? It was very surprising for me. And I think on reflection now, sort of looking at that Ivan Gazidis news that he could be off to Milan, it's all adding up a bit in terms of Gazidis seems to want to set up a safe and assured plan that's going to be transitional from Wenger, but that's not too much of a risk, so that it won't, if he went for Arteta and then left Gazidis, it could potentially look very bad on him if it didn't go too well. I think Emery is a safer choice. He's coming into a new environment though, and even though Arteta was not a manager ever, he knew the Premier League, he played in the Premier League a lot, and he's coached of course under Pep at Manchester City, so it's very unknown. It's exciting though as a fan. It's nice to not know what's going to happen, in a way, because we've been very predictable over the last 5 to 10 years. So we've not got too much further we can fall in terms of league position. I think sixth last season, if we were to finish outside of the top six this season, I don't think Emery would be in charge. We will be patient, but I don't think we'll be patient if we got no European football at all. So he's got a nice you know, low expectations. No Arsenal fans sort of saying we have to win the league or even come close to it this year, really. We just want to see something new. We want to see a new philosophy. We want to get back into the Champions League. Top four is the aim. And, you know, maybe win a cup as well. But it's just that refreshing thing that Emery will bring. And it clearly, his interview is what sort of got him the job. You hear Casillas speak incredibly about how he sort of went into meticulous detail about everything about the club. And that's great to see because we want someone who, you know, really understands it and understands the players. And it's an exciting time for some of the younger players as well to see if they can, how they develop under Emery. Can he, you know, give some players a chance that perhaps weren't given under Wenger? Because Wenger had his favourites. That was well documented. And I think there's some others that could really come to the fore under Emery.
I'm very excited to see Arsenal. I think they're going to surprise a few. I think Emery is such a fantastic choice of manager for me. I think they're going to really compete. I don't think they can win the league, but we'll come on to that. But for me, I think we're going to see a more competitive side. And, you know, what would you say? Would you say top four and, you know, is the main target for the season?
I think we've got a target top four. I find it hard to sort of say set targets when you're a club at the top because you should be trying to win every game. There's not a game we should look at as Arsenal fans apart from maybe, you know, the top three or four away from home. You'd take a point, but you're never you're happy to lose. And pretty much every game you want to win. So I don't particularly like to set targets, but that will be, you know, what the board want to get back into the Champions League. You could say we can do that via the Europa League, which he's won several times before, but I think that's a very risky approach to take because in cup football anything can happen and we can't sort of put all our eggs in one basket. But I do think we'll see a stronger Arsenal team in the Europa League than Wenger put out, even in the group stages, because I expect Emery will want to sort of make his mark in that competition. But I always think the Premier League needs to take priority and we need to show that we compete over 38 games against the very best and earn our place in that top four and not try and sort of get in via a side door in the Europa League.
Yeah, I follow you. I just want to look at the transfers they've brought in. A few European players. Defensively, there's a couple of reinforcements. So Juve, Lichtstein has joined on a free, and also Papastopoulos, the centre-back from Borussia Dortmund for $17 million. Some quite cheap players, to be honest, but a couple of decent, experienced defenders, which you probably need.
Yeah, I think, you know, on reflection, the entire transfer window has been okay. We've got some good players in. It's clear from the type that we're signing that we don't have a huge amount of money available. We're not even getting involved in any of those big money debates at the moment, unless we're going to do something surprising in the last week. But I'm not sure. There is a little bit of talk about Dembele, but even then, people are saying it could be a loan deal to save a bit of money. So we're clearly trying a structure that's never going to be able to compete with even Liverpool now with the money they're spending. So I think Emery straight away saw the lack of you know, astute defensive ability in our team. So Lichtsteiner, I think he might play a bit more than people think this season, to be honest. I think Bellerin, he just hasn't progressed over the last couple of years. He was a huge talent, but I think he can learn a lot from Lichtsteiner. So I think that's a great signing on the free, actually. Socrates, I'm not convinced by. I think it's important that we partner him with the right player. I don't think that player is Mustafi. I think they're too similar. They're both quite aggressive on the front foot defenders. I don't think that's going to work. And when you look beyond Mustafi, we've got Koscielny, who's injured. Mertesacker's, of course, retired. So then we have the young trio of Chambers, Holding and Mavropanos. Are any of those ready to start every week in the Premier League? I don't think so. So I would have liked to see another top centre-back arrive. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I think central defence is still a concern. However, the signing of Lucas Torreira should definitely help in terms of giving our team more balance and giving that defence some protection. I think he's a fantastic little player. Still very young. Obviously, he's not physically massive, but Kante has sort of shown how you can do a lot. even if you're little in that position. And I think he'll sort of be that have that sort of Kante effect on our team, and that might help us get more out of some of our other midfielders, which will really benefit the team as a whole.
No, I agree, especially Torreira, who's I think he showed at the World Cup how good he was, and he's been linked with Arsenal and Premier League moves in general for quite a while. You've got the goalkeeper coming in, Bernd Leno, for about 20-ish million. I guess with Petr Cech seemingly probably, I'd have thought this would be his last season. An astute signing. He's a good goalkeeper, quite highly rated.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, that one. I'm not sure who will start the season and how it'll play out, because Cech he's had quite a good pre-season actually. Saved a couple of penalties, which, you know, he'd only saved one in his entire Arsenal career. So I think he's up for the fight for that number one spot, and I've been quite critical of Cech in an Arsenal shirt, but at the end of the day, if we've got the players to sort of compete and get the best out of each other, that's exactly what we want. So I'm all for. I've not watched a lot of Leno. I know he's made some mistakes, but I think the key thing he's going to add is that speed and the reflexes that perhaps Cech is losing in his age. And especially if we're going to be playing a pressing game, I think the reason we've signed Leno is that he can react to those you know, balls that come through the back, and that is kind of the modern goalkeeper, which Cech is not used to.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for a straight answer on who you thought Arsenal's number one would be for my fantasy football, to be honest. But
yeah. I thought it would be Leno, but I think Cech's done well in pre-season, and I think it would be harsh in a way to sort of drop him. We haven't seen a lot of Leno, so I think with the Europa League and stuff, one of them might get the cup games just like Wenger did. I don't know. We'll see.
Emery was quite big on that with PSG. He had Areola and another keeper, Sirigu at one point, and Kevin Trapp. But he would strictly play one in the league and one in the cups. Seems quite a popular thing on the continent to have two effectively first choice goalkeepers. We might see.
Yeah, I expect so.
Just looking at the transfers overall, I think astute's sort of the word. And yeah, Arsenal haven't really competed for, you know, the big bucks, but for about 50, 60 odd million spent, I think you couldn't have done a lot better than that, you know, for that kind of money.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think we spent our money well. I think, you know, not to hype Torreira too much, but something like 22 million, which is, you know, potentially very cheap in this market for a 22-year-old starting midfielder who could make a big difference to the team. I think we could look back on that, you know, when you look at Pogba going for 100 million and things like that, we could look back on that signing as one of the best, I hope, because I think it's sort of exactly what we needed. It's what we had Coquelin in the team for, but Coquelin was then so limited in other areas of his game. So I think it's sort of a mould between Coquelin and Cazorla, but into one player, which helped because it was sort of like that period when we started Coquelin, we had him in just for the sake of it. You know, we knew he was a very limited player for everything else, but I think Torreira can offer a lot more. So hopefully he'll be the one that makes a big difference. And hopefully Socrates brings leadership and experience that to the back four as well. We'll only be able to tell when the Premier League starts, really, because, you know, pre-season is not an effective measuring tool. But I would have quite liked to see a Premier League defender come in. I know I'll get stick for it, but I think Johnny Evans for a couple of million would have been a decent little signing as well. Not necessarily to play every game, but I think we needed to. If you look at our defensive options now, we've got Mustafi, who struggled in the Premier League. Socrates and Mavropanos are all very young. So I think someone who knows the Premier League in that position would have been great. You know, not necessarily a big money signing. I'm looking at Johnny Evans, a Dunk from Brighton, someone like that just to come into the squad, I would have liked to see, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen now. So we've got to work with it. And we do have three young centre-backs, and I think one of them needs to make that step up this season.
No, I agree. I think Premier League experience is something that's really underrated. Every sign-in is from Europe. You know, he was played at a decent level, don't get me wrong, but there's a difference between that and the Premier League for me.
Yeah, definitely.
The players that have left the club, Jack Wilshere is probably the highest profile one. As you mentioned, Mertesacker, Cazorla's also gone on a free to Villarreal, I believe. But with Jack Wilshere, would you have kept him or not?
It's a decision I'm thankful I don't have to make. You know, there's emotional ties to him. So I'm a big fan of Wilshere. I think when he's fit, he's a fantastic player, fantastic to watch. He's always not had the best end product, probably not scored enough goals to sort of, you know, take him to that level of what people thought he might get to in your Gerrards, your Lampards and things like that. He's never done that, and he's not stayed fit is the main thing. And I think it's sort of probably the right moment to let him go. His contract was expiring, Wenger's gone, we're changing our identity. We have sort of nursed him for too long. So I feel like if you look at, are we offering a contract where he was demanding to, you know, play very regularly, we can't guarantee him that, especially with the players that have come into the club. We haven't mentioned Guendouzi as well from Lorient, who we signed. He's a central midfielder as well for about £8 million. He's been fantastic in pre-season. So I think Wilshere would have struggled to even play ahead of him based on what I've seen of Guendouzi and how highly Emery seems to rate him. Because we've got players like El Nene who probably suit the pressing game of Emery more so than Wilshere. And El Nene may not even still be here in a week's time. So I think he was too far down the pecking order, and I want him to be playing football. I think he could still add value to the England team, but he's not going to get back to fitness and get back to his full ability at Arsenal. So I think it's the best move.
No, I completely agree with you. I think he needs to be playing every week and be the big fish almost, you know, that main midfielder, that main creative midfielder. At West Ham. I think it's a good move all round, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
I just want to move on and look at some of the other top sides and who we think might compete. First of all, Chelsea have also brought in a new manager in Sarri, who's best known at Napoli, where he built a really exciting side.
I'm not too sure on Chelsea, to be honest. I like Sarri, I like Napoli under Sarri, but I think at Chelsea you never know with a character like him which way it's going to go. It could be going very well for a while, and then there's a bit of a fallout or a run of bad results, the press get on his back, and it could very quickly turn south. So I don't think they'll be right at the top. I don't think they'll win the title. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if he did amazing. I think they'll do well in the Europa League as well as Arsenal. I think that will be interesting if both Arsenal and Chelsea get far, and especially if perhaps they're both struggling to get in the top four. But I think it's a good appointment by Chelsea. I just you're never too sure with them as to, you know, how it's going to go long term. I doubt in 3 years' time he'll be there, but that's not to say he won't win the league title, as we saw with Conte.
They've only brought in one player, Jorginho. They look a bit short of players, especially in the attacking positions, and there's some talk Willian and Courtois might leave, so I don't think the squad's quite well there. I think based on as it is now, that I don't think they can make a title challenge. You know, we might change by next week when they're playing, but at this moment I can't see it.
Yeah, I think in central midfield, Jorginho and Kante is very good, very good base there. They've got this Hudson-Odoi young kid, and it would be nice to see Chelsea, you know, actually play some youngsters and not loan them out to Vitesse. So it'll be good for England as well. So, you know, he looks exciting. He played against Arsenal and had some good moments. He still looks quite raw, though. I'm not sure he's ready to sort of, you know, replace Willian or anything like that. But what could win Chelsea the title or take them very close is Eden Hazard. If they keep hold of him, I think he'll do incredible under Sarri. I think he could sort of be this season's Salah and really step it up. So that's the key for them, really. You saw what Sarri did with Dries Mertens at Napoli, and I can sort of see him doing something similar with Hazard, getting more attacking freedom and really seeing the best of him. We saw how good he was at the World Cup, and we do see it in glimpses with Hazard, but he just needs to be more consistent, and maybe Sarri can help him with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just hope we see a more exciting Chelsea to watch, to be honest. I don't really see them competing. Tottenham as well. I presume you don't want to see them do too well, but no transfers for them this summer of any significance, really. But they have got Pochettino and a few of their players on long-term contracts, which I suppose is more important for them than signing players. It's that consistency in that side.
I think, you know, sometimes we get overwhelmed with signings and, you know, this team has signed 10 players, they're going to do amazing. You only have to look at in Milan last summer, everyone thought they'd be challenging Juventus because of all the signings they made, and then they really struggled and didn't even finish in Europe, I think. So I think Spurs do need players, but they do have that consistent core of players. They haven't lost anyone major. They've got a fantastic manager, and those players know exactly how to play with the manager. That said, I might be an Arsenal fan, but I don't see them getting in the top four this season, based on that, you know, lack of depth in quality, especially with the Champions League they'll be in, and they're just the teams around them strengthening. You know, pretty much every team has got better, so they really have to do something. I think they're being linked to the likes of Jack Grealish. You know, he's a talented player, but is he going to take them to that next level? Not for me. So I can see them struggling this season, and I hope they do. But I actually think they probably will struggle.
Okay, I'm a bit more positive about Tottenham. I think keeping that side together, and I've made the mistake of writing them off not getting top four the last couple of seasons, but then they always seem to deliver it, and you know, they're a great side to watch, and the players, it's such a young team and all of them are improving each year. I think they'll get top four. I think they'll probably finish fourth for my money. Liverpool have been the big spenders this summer. They've spent about 160 odd million. They have been criticised quite a bit by Mourinho, Klopp has, for his spending. Looking at the players themselves, some very good signings in there. Alisson from Roma, and the two midfielders, Fabinho and Naby Keita, coming in from Leipzig. And it's some serious money they've spent, but on paper we should be saying that's money well spent.
Yeah, I think you know, Mourinho's made those comments because he's worried, and quite rightly worried. I think Liverpool spent really wisely. You could say too much on the likes of Alisson. You know, that's a lot of money on a goalkeeper, but if they've got the money, that's an area they definitely needed to strengthen. Alisson is being built up to be, you know, the best goalkeeper in the world at the moment, and from what I've seen, he's a very good goalkeeper, but he did only really emerge in the last couple of seasons, so he's not earned that massive price tag yet, but he might prove to be the difference for Liverpool, and in which case he'll be worth it. So I think looking at Liverpool, they're the closest contenders to Manchester City this season. I think they'll bring some fantastic football to the Premier League. The two additions in midfield, Fabinho and Kieta, are great players, I think. And they've got that amazing attack already. I know they were looking to add Fekir, but, you know, do they really need him? And they might still make... I've got a feeling they'll make another addition before the deadline, but I don't think they need to be competing.
Shaqiri, who's coming from Stoke for about 14 million, he's proven a decent addition. I know he's had a good pre-season for Liverpool, but he's sort of a decent player who will want to prove himself at that level. I think also, having said that, he's going to be someone who's not going to sulk if he's not an automatic first choice, if he's coming off the bench getting 20 minutes or so. I think he's a decent...
You need those players in your squad. He's a talented rotation option for sure. I mean, I, as an Arsenal fan, are very jealous of the wide attacking options that Liverpool have. I think it's essential in the modern game to have people who can beat players out wide and contribute goals from those positions. Yeah. I think we really lack that. We had Walcott, who wasn't a fantastic player, but he bring exactly that, and we haven't really replaced him. Liverpool have an abundance, really, with Salah, Mane, and they got Shaqiri as well, who definitely is going to add goals from wide areas. So I think Klopp knows exactly how he wants to play football and has the players now to really deliver that.
But for your money, you still make Manchester City favourites for the league?
I think it's hard to win. It's very hard to win titles back to back. So, you know, I'm tempted to say Liverpool will edge them. But with Liverpool, I know they've made all these signings of the Van Dijk and the Alisson to help them defensively. But you still wonder whether they can be consistent enough to win the Premier League. Manchester City, phenomenal amount of points last season, and they really showed that they can consistently deliver even when they're going through tough times. And they've got incredible depth as well. And as you say, with the likes of Shaqiri, Liverpool are starting to get that depth. But I still think they will trip up one too many times. But I think they'll push them close. Hopefully we have a more exciting title race this season, because, you know, it was a bit dull in the end last season.
I hope so too, for sure. With Mahrez, though, a good addition to Manchester City, and he's a sort of technical player who will suit a Guardiola system quite well. And I think he'll end up playing in central midfield rather than the right midfield people were expecting.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I want to see sort of how he fares under with big players around him, because he's always been that star, and don't want to call him like a solo, but he'd always take the ball and carry the ball quite a lot for Leicester and be that person, be that outlet. So in the Manchester City team, he's going to have to sort of adapt his game a bit. I think he's going to have to learn to play, you know, more passing than he probably did in that Leicester team, less on the break. So he's got to adapt his game. I'm not saying he can't, but I think it'll be interesting to see how he does. I think Bernardo Silva could have a good season for Manchester City. I think you say Mahrez might play more central. I've got a feeling Bernardo Silva will play quite central this season, potentially taking a bit of the weight off David Silva, because he's something like 34 now. Mm. So perhaps when they rotate, I've got a feeling Bernardo Silva will start to play a more central role, because you've seen with Pep a couple of times, the new players, he sort of keeps them on the periphery for that first season as they sort of get to know the system and get to know the players, and then they explode onto the scene in their second season. So I think I'm tipping Bernardo Silva to have a good year.
I think City are a bit short though in the sort of attacking midfield attackers positions. You think if they get an injury or two, they're really struggling. I think this is a good addition, an important addition for them. Especially nowadays with football not being about an 11 so much. I think it's about a squad of about 20 or so.
Yeah, I think they've got a lot of good attacking midfielders. I'd say I heard today that Pep's looking to play 3-5-2 most of the season. So obviously that allows Gabriel Jesus and Aguero to play together, which is fantastic. But beyond that, as an actual striker, as an orthodox striker, they've not really got another option. So whether they change the system if one was injured or they needed to rotate, probably. But yeah, perhaps they need an attacker. But I mean, who's willing to play third fiddle to Aguero and Gabriel Jesus?
Mm. Well, I'm just thinking if Sane or Sterling got an injury, there's not really anyone who'd come. You know, it'd be Bernardo Silva or Mahrez, really. And then you're wanting them in midfield. So I think they needed that extra player. I think it's really important for them.
Mm. Yeah.
Just finally, I just want to mention Man United. One big signing note: Fred, the central midfielder, for about 50 mil from Shakhtar. Diego Dalot and Lee Grant, not really expected to be big players for them this season. All the talk's been about Mourinho and how upset he's been in all his press conferences. What's that like for you looking in at United?
Well, it's fantastic, really, isn't it? I'm not a big fan of Mourinho. People who follow me will know that I'll jump on his back the second there's something that comes out. It's not me being anti-Manchester United. I don't think he's a great man manager at all. I think the way he's treated certain situations is disgusting, really, for a manager with the power that he's got, and the way he sort of conducts himself in press conferences is just asking for trouble, and then he sort of moans that he's getting all the press attention. So I don't get it. I don't particularly like him, and I think if United don't do anything in this last week, they will struggle next season. I think, you know, people are saying, oh, Pogba will be great next season, but I think he was great because he was enjoying his football in France, in that France team. I'm not sure he can do that at United. And the problem Mourinho's got now is the season hasn't even started and he's already got the press on his back. And we saw at Chelsea how that destroyed him in his third season there, in his second spell. So I would love it to happen, to be honest. I'd love them to follow what happened to Chelsea that year. And I don't think it's impossible that United really struggle, because he's not the type of manager who can turn it around when things start mounting against him.
Yeah.
And I think they needed, you know, they signed Fred and he might be fantastic. I've not seen a lot of Fred at all. So £50 million is a lot of money. So I'm expecting him to be very good. We'll see how that goes. As United have a lot of central midfielders, so I don't know how they'll work it out. But
yeah, I agree with you. I think we could see a Mourinho meltdown. I don't think it'll be as catastrophic as it was at Chelsea, but I don't think United will finish in the top four this season. I think you look at the situation with someone like Anthony Martial. I think for the good of his career, he should leave United. If it's true that Chelsea wants him and that's an opportunity, he's got to jump and go there for me.
Definitely, yeah. I'm a huge fan of Martial. I think it's horrible to see him sort of wasted. I know Rashford's had opportunities as well, but I feel like he's not getting enough opportunities through the middle. In my eyes, these English players need to be slightly lowered down, maybe at an Everton or something, you know, playing week in, week out. I think if we'd had Rashford playing through the middle at an Everton for the last couple of years, he'd be, you know, even better than he is now. And the same goes with Martial, obviously not English, but I think Martial was sort of at that Mbappe level when they were both 17.
Yeah.
You would have said that, you know, Martial would be one to get all these headlines, and it's Mbappe now and that's because he's playing in the right system and playing under a manager that trusts him. And
I was just going to say, I saw a tweet that said that if Martial was playing in France and Mbappe was at United, it'd be Martial playing in the World Cup final for France and Mbappe left at home.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I believe that, really. I think, you know, it's a massive deal what system you're playing in and under what manager massively affects your career. So if Martial wants to have the career he deserves, he needs to push for the move. I know he sort of has. And United, bizarrely, are blocking it because I'm not sure why Mourinho's keen to block it when he doesn't use him properly.
Yeah. Just as a final question, we've talked about the traditional sort of top six. Is there anyone outside of that you think could challenge and get Europa League?
Everton are going to be interesting under Marcus Silva. I think he's a good manager. I know it sort of went badly very quickly for him at Watford, but I think I've always thought he's a good manager. They got a lot of stick for spending so much on Richarlison, which I agree with, because I think Lookman is a fantastic player and it looks like they're going to sell him for half that amount. But at the end of the day, Silva knows Richarlison very well. When he was at Watford, Richarlison performed brilliantly. The second Silva left, his performances sort of got a lot worse. So Silva will know what he's getting for that money, and clearly, you know, he's only 21 years old, Richarlison. So I don't think if he performs this season like he was at the start of the season for Watford last year, people will start saying, you know, that's a good investment. So I think we should wait and see on that Richarlison front. It is a lot of money. I would have liked to see them keep Lookman. I think he's a very good player. He did so well for Leipzig when he went on loan. But they do have decent players there. So I think if anyone, they're going to push it. I know there's talk of, you know, your Wolves and your Fulhams with the signing they've made, but I think it's going to be a bit short. I think Burnley will struggle this year. I know they did so well last season, but if you look, I don't think they've signed anyone. And they are probably going to be in the Europa League now. So how their squad suddenly deals with not being able to line up exactly the same each week, because they won't be able to. And that's how they did so well under Dyche. So I think there'll be a spot there to be taken by another team. And probably your Everton's are going to be the biggest challenges. But I can't really see anyone breaking into the top six, to be honest. I think there's still that gap. Yeah. And it's a hard job for someone like Silva at Everton, because how do you really break into those elite clubs? It's very difficult.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Burnley will drop quite a bit this season with the Europa League and added pressure. Leicester, for me, are the one. I know they've lost Mahrez, but they've signed James Maddison from Norwich, who looked very exciting in the Championship. Johnny Evans is a great signing for $3 million. And also Porto right-back Pereira, who looks some player who I don't think he would have looked out of place. From what I've seen of him, he wouldn't look out of place in any of the top Premier League sides. So I think they've bought very well, and I think Leicester will be the best of the rest, if you like. Not sure if they'll get the top six, but I think they'll be.
I think Leicester will do well this season. One player I rate a lot is Ndidi. I think he will sort of break onto the scene even more this year, and he'll probably end up moving next summer because of that. But I reckon he'll have a very good season. I've also seen Leicester linked with Thorgan Hazard, who obviously not as good as his brother, a fantastic season last year in the Bundesliga, so that would be a great signing. And I'm reading that it's something like 15 to 20 million, which would be phenomenal for someone of his talent. So if they can get another good signing over the line, they could definitely push it.
Yeah,
I think Demarai Gray could step up as well with Mahrez gone, if he's going to be playing more regularly. So we'll see.
Yep. Well, thanks for joining us for this show. Thanks for listening. It's goodbye from me and goodbye from Ollie.
Goodbye.